That is fantastic. I was looking for a funny video on Wednesday. I like to show funny videos on Wednesday nights for youth group, and we came across that, and John's like, we have to show that on Sunday morning. It doesn't matter how long it is, which is true, but I really do appreciate all of my volunteers, all the volunteers that feel like they're in volunteer limbo, that just like, I keep on sending them invites on to volunteer every single Sunday, and they keep on saying yes. You're like, why am I doing this? I really do appreciate it. For those who don't know, I added on children's ministry to my job a couple months ago, and I just want to thank all of the volunteers that come in every Sunday morning that wear one of these shirts and just love on the kids and being patient with me, learning a new job. And going with all of my crazy ideas, whether they're good or bad, you put a smile on your face, and you're like, sure, that's going to work. And I just want to thank you guys so much for encouraging me, giving me good ideas, and just pushing me to be better and making that place over there the most safe place possible. And with the purpose of kids learning the Bible and understanding that Jesus really does love them and that God is the one and only God. And I really do appreciate it. And for my youth volunteers, every single week, you guys don't get a week off. And I really do appreciate you guys, especially come up here and leading worship. It is fantastic. And thank you for pouring your lives into the middle school and high school and just joking with them, playing games with them, even though the games sometimes aren't. They're kind of frustrating, but I appreciate you diving in because you know it's for the kids and it's not for yourself, and I really do appreciate it. But we are continuing our series this morning. We are in the Gospel of John. We've set aside an entire year, and we're going to go through the book of John verse by verse, section by section, and this is a very, very important part. This is a very difficult part that we're going to talk about today. Today's main thing is this. You are called to love a world that hates you. But in order for us to talk about this subject as a whole, we need to talk first about what Jesus meant when he says we need to love. Now, we all have this understanding of what love is. We all show love in some way. We all do something, say something, or see somebody else do something or say something. And in our minds, we categorize that as that person showed love, or I just showed love to somebody else. So I was left with this question, what is love? And I have an understanding through being with people over the years and through study of what love is. I really wanted to know what other people thought love was. Like, I knew what I thought, but I really wanted to know, like, what other people that I didn't know thought what love is. So I went to the place that everybody goes to find the answers, the internet. And I went on message boards, I went on social media, and I wrote this in there. Hey, if anybody could just answer this question, that'd be fantastic. What is love? Question mark. And I waited a little bit, and I got an email, got a response. I'm like, yes, somebody answered. And the response was, baby, don't hurt me no more. And I'm like, you know, it's early. Maybe, you know, it's a high school student, you know, messing with me. I'm like, I'm just going to go to lunch. So I went to lunch, came back like 30 minutes later, and I'm like, that was like 30 more emails. This is fantastic. And I went on the blog or the forum site, and then the next one was, baby, don't hurt me no more. And then they started, like, commenting back on each other and, like, finishing this song. And I was like, all right. Obviously, there has to be somebody more qualified than me or smarter than me to ask this question and maybe put a video together or put, like, another site together to ask these questions. So I searched the internet, and I found somebody that was more qualified and smarter than me to ask the question, what is love, on the internet. And I scoured through this website, and I picked out, there's like 50 or 60 of these. Somebody asked people from age like 2 all the way to like 105 the question, what is love? And some of them were kind of the same, so I kind of picked out a few that were kind of different from each other. So a 2-year-old said this, love is hugs. That's really cool. A 5-year-old said this, love is sharing your toys. A 13-year-old girl said this, when you love somebody, you forgive them. A 12-year-old boy said this, a feeling that changes the way you see the world. A 17-year-old girl said this, love is that feeling you get at a restaurant when you see your food coming. An 18-year-old boy says this, you feel lost without the other person, with him referring to when you're in love with somebody else. And an 18-year-old girl said this, you don't know until you find it. I really love that last one, you don't know until you find it. We learn in the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon said this, there is nothing new under the sun. Love has been here since the very beginning of time, and it will continue on into eternity, but not everybody's version of love will go on past this lifetime. See, we're going to continue the story in John 15, and while you're looking it up in the Bibles and your YouVersion apps or in the bulletin, I want to explain that Jesus is a conversation we've been talking about for a couple weeks now. And Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, which we titled The Last Supper. We've been talking about this for the past couple of weeks. And this is, if this is the very first time hearing about the Last Supper or the gospel, this is a time where Jesus is kind of giving a speech to his disciples for the very last time. This is the very last time all of his disciples are together, and he's kind of communicating his final thoughts. Because after this supper, after some time, he goes off and is tried and is crucified. But I was looking and studying this, and last week I heard Dave speak, and I was like, man, I think I need to read the entire Last Supper. And I realized that Jesus has kind of given them a pep talk. It's almost like a graduation speech, almost. It kind of has the same format that we hear like on a high school graduation. I think everybody here has either been to one or heard a graduation speech before. But you know, the person that's giving the speech, they kind of talk about the life lessons that they've learned over the years. You know, over the 4 years, they learned about like what teacher taught them this, or together something happened and they learned something very valuable. And then the next thing they talk about is they always talk about things that they could achieve. Like they say, if you continue down this path, if you continue to work hard like you did the last 4 years, you could do some great things. And then the last thing they always say is they always talk about some warnings that could happen in the future. They always say, you know, you might come up with some trials after you graduate, and I want to encourage you to push past those because you've worked so hard to get to this point. Don't let anything stop you in the future from getting to your goals. That is something that every single graduation speech happens. And Jesus is talking about the exact same thing here at this meal. In John 15, 9 through 14, it says this, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he may lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. So that leads me to my first point, that Jesus is love. Now this sounds really cliche because every time you're like in Bible class or when I'm with my students or like especially my young kids, you know, you ask them a question, it's like, what's the answer? And they say, Jesus. But this time it is so in fact true. Just last week, David Kibler, our senior minister, in his sermon, he said this in his scripture. He said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, something that Jesus said. If we do what Jesus commands to love each other and love a world that hates us, we need to show the love that will last not only now, but will last forever. And that love that we need to show them is Jesus. We need to share Jesus for the rest, to the ends and to everybody in this world. And Jesus explains that if you love me and you share your love, share my love with others, if you share eternity with others, the world will hate you. Jesus goes on to warn his disciples in this dinner of something that's going to come, something that will absolutely happen to you if you remain in him. In verse 18 and 19, he says this: as the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to this world, but I have chosen you out of this world. That is why the world hates you. See, Jesus isn't telling his disciples to discourage them in any way. He's not saying, like, look, the world's going to hate you, so you might as well just give up now. Or the disciples aren't thinking, you know, oh, man, this is really going to be difficult. I just want to give up now. No, he's not doing that. He's warning them. He's encouraging them, just like I explained in the graduation speech, the final words that somebody wants to give you. He's saying, look, this will come. And when it comes, I want you to remember what I told you. Hey, it's going to happen. And this is why he explained. In verse 26, he says this: when the counselor comes, who I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the very beginning. It is like Jesus, in this final speech, is trying to give them kind of like a cheat sheet. He's kind of like, look, this will come, and the reason I am telling you this now is because I desire to be with you. I desire to be with you in eternity. I desire to be with you in heaven, and in order for that to happen, I need you to show love. I need you to explain my love to others, and I know it's going to be difficult, and that's why I'm telling you now, because at the end of time, you will have to testify about me, because I'm telling you this because I desire to be with you. Us as Christians, those who claim to be Christ's followers, we all know this. We know we're supposed to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching everything Jesus commanded us to do. We know that. We've heard it over and over and over again. And we know when it's time to testify about Jesus, we're supposed to. But a lot of the time, when we're faced with a situation where it's our turn to stand up and say, Jesus is the only way, we don't. See, I wasn't always a Christian. I became a Christian at the age of like 17, right after I turned 17. And I grew up going to church for a couple years, and I think it planted a really good seed in my heart. Like, it was there, but there was nobody there to really water it and prune it and make sure it grew and just took over my heart. So I went year after year of just not hearing about Jesus whatsoever. And I remember going to public school for the very first time in middle school, and I was at a school of 1,200 kids in middle school, and not once did I hear Jesus' name. Not even talked about, not even churched. And then I went on to high school, and for the first 2 years, the same thing. I never heard Jesus' name. I never heard about the church and how great it was. And thank be to God, I met my wife, well, now wife. We got to know each other, and over the summer, we started kind of talking a little bit. And her only desire that summer was to talk about Jesus and God and the church. It didn't matter. Everything revolved around this great thing that she talked about, which was church. And she pushed me and pushed me. It's like, man, you are missing out on so much if you don't go to this church. And I went and I loved it. But there was a 6 months later, I got baptized and it was fantastic. But then I reached a point in my walk with Christ that was the most difficult thing. Now, don't get me wrong, becoming Christian is the greatest thing ever. The fellowship that I received, the study, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, there's no greater thing than that. There really isn't. It is the greatest thing in the world. But I remember a few months later, I went to Bluegrass Christian Camp for the very first time. Actually, David Kilbar, our senior minister, was speaking that week. John Kelly brought his band, and he was leading worship that week. It was in 2008. And I remember when I walked on to that campus, I just looked around and I was so frustrated. And the reason I was so frustrating is because I was one of the last ones to show up, and I saw people that I went to high school with there. I saw people I played basketball with since I was like 9 years old. I saw guys that I played football with that I would lay down my life for on the football field that I saw like 12 hours earlier at football camp. I saw people there that I knew. And I was so frustrated because I looked at them and I said, you had so much opportunity to share Jesus with me and you never did. And in my mind, I was so frustrated because I thought that they were okay with the possibility of me going to hell. And the scope of that story of my frustration of when I first became a Christian, I want to go back and talk about the very first text I read. Now, these texts in here are meant to be a warning and to encourage, but sometimes they're very difficult to get through, and we have to talk about these things. I want to read this once again. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And I remember reading this for the first time through a new lens of listening to Dave's message last week, and then reading this. I remember reading it, and I immediately just fell out of my chair. I read it, and I fell flat on my knees, and I had to pray right there because it hurt so bad. And then I had to go into John's office, and I had to talk to him about it. And I went in Dave's office and talked to him about it. And I said, this is a difficult topic, and I have to talk about it. I have to say this. Now, when I was reading this, I realized how much joy there is in it. If we do what God commands, if we show love to others, we are friends of Jesus, which is fantastic. That is the goal, to be friends of Jesus. If we do that, then that means that he laid down his life for us, and we get to experience eternity, which is amazing. And he calls us to do that to others. Go show my love to others, which is we need to show eternity to others. And the way that we do that is we explain that Jesus is the only way. And that's awesome. But now, if we don't share that love to others and that Jesus is the only way, if we do that, then we're not following his commands, which means he didn't lay down his life for us, and we're not going to experience eternity. And the sad part is that means we're not friends with Jesus. And just to put the cherry on top, that means that we're okay with people going to hell. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. But, and I'm not saying this because I want to discourage anybody. I really don't. I'm saying this because, just like Jesus did to his disciples, I'm encouraging you. I want to warn you about a time where you will have to stand up and you will have to say, you know, Jesus is the only way, and you're missing out on so much. I want to share this with you because I want you to be eternity. I want you to come to eternity with me one day. Jesus says, I need you to remain in me, and I want you to show this love to others. There is no greater love than the ones that Jesus gives to us. Like I said, there's nothing greater than the feeling of experiencing the church, the bride of Christ. There's no better feeling of in community with one another. Community groups here in church on Sunday mornings, that's why Sunday mornings we value so very much, because we have the ability to show love to others and declare on this stage that Jesus is the only way. So as we go out those doors, I encourage you to show love, because if you show love, the world will hate you, I promise that. But I encourage you to push past that, as Jesus describes, so that you will love that world that does hate you. And the reason that we love is because we have to desire for everybody outside of these walls and in here to have them in eternity with us one day. Let me pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for the ability to come here on Sunday morning and to stand up, worship, and say how great you are and declare that your son, Jesus, is the only way. God, I want to pray for each one of these people in here that when they leave these doors, that they desire to share their faith with others, that they desire and they look upon others with so much love and they desire to say that, look, Jesus is the only way, that your son is the only way. God, give them the boldness, give them the strength, give them that desire that you shared to your disciples. God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the amazing gift of grace that he gives us so that we can wake up every single morning with joy in our hearts. Thank you so much. I ask this all in your son's name.